Okay, today I have on the phone with me Raj and Rashina. Good evening, you two.
Good evening.
Hi.
All right, the reason I'm talking to this wonderful couple tonight is because they've made a tremendous transformation, and they did it in a very special way and at a very special time. So, Raj, Rashina, let's start with you. Rashina, would you tell us just a little bit about yourself, kind of what your background is, and where you came from, and height and age and all that kind of stuff, and then we'll have Raj do the same thing. So take it away, Rashina.
Okay, my name is Rashina. I'm 32, and I grew up on the East Coast, now living in Arizona. And what was the other question?
It's okay. What did you do before you met Raj?
What did I do before I met Raj? I guess nothing fun, huh?
That's right. Just say it this way. I had no life before Raj. Raj is my everything.
Yes.
That's the way I heard it.
That's a she said he heard thing.
Right.
Let's see. Well, so, I'm a huge baseball fan. I'm a telecom engineer for a call center company. And just hanging out with friends and doing that kind of stuff before Raj. And that's about it.
Good. Did you... How was your weight? How was your weight prior to, you know, like since high school and that kind of thing?
So I'm 5'5", okay. And growing up, I was actually, I grew up in a very strict household as far as food was concerned. So no sweets, you know, no sugar, nothing like that. It was really strict, and I was really thin all through school, high school, and I ran cross country and track in high school. I was really just active, but really thin. And when I say thin, I was about 5'5", maybe 105, 110.
Oh, yeah. That's thin.
Yeah, and then in college, I would say I was probably, of course, I gained the freshman 15, and so I was probably around 120, but still for 5'5", is good.
Yep, you bet.
And then right after college is when I started putting on the weight. So before I started with you, I was around 145.
Okay. So when did you meet Raj?
I met Raj 2.5 years ago.
2.5 years ago. Okay, so let's take it up to that point. All right, so started off really thin, high school, did the freshman kind of 15 thing, and hung out there, went up a little bit. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but basically got out of college at what, 21, 22?
Yeah, I got out of college at 22. And I was I can't remember the exact weight, but I was probably around 125, I don't even know if I was 130, but I was still, you know, relatively
thin. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
After college.
Right.
Right. And now when you met Raj, what'd you weigh?
I weighed in the high 130s.
Okay. So Raj, prior to your life with Rashina, how'd your weight go? What was your background like?
Well, my background was I, too, also grew up on the East Coast, and my family was probably a polar opposite. We were not strict at all. We ate a lot and kind of a clean-your-plate kind of household, and food was and is today a very big deal at my parents' house. And growing up was always really big, really big. In high school, so I'm 5'5", as well as my wife, and high school, I think I was about around 165, somewhere in there, maybe even hit a little higher at some points. And then in college, I just exploded, and by that, not in a good way. Probably my highest point in college might have been about 205.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Rashina says, man.
And I wasn't there for very long, but that was probably a peak weight, 200 to 205, somewhere in there. Like, I mean, maybe I was there for a month, you know, but I was there at some point. And when I left college, I was actually very big. And then right after college, I moved to Arizona. And in the time... And that was in 97. So in that time till about the time when I met Rashina, you know, I'd actually, you know, kind of took some initiative to bring the weight down. I initially tried stuff like Atkins and had some moderate success with that, but not for very long. Didn't work for more than like about maybe the 3 weeks.
Right.
And then I struggled with it heavily. But it did get some weight down. Maybe got down into, you know, the 180s from there, which is still very, very large person, probably still in 30-plus percent body fat, somewhere in there. Did the whole body for life thing and got into the internet message boards, things of that nature, and through different people, people who actually trained with you, I found the leanness lifestyle.
Okay. And I know that you had, you know, Raj, you've been through a couple of my boot camps and various things and had lost some weight and had gotten down, had come back up a little bit, gotten down, come back up a little bit. Didn't get up as high as that college weight, but you'd come back up a little bit after losing some weight. And then eventually you came into the elite level. But that's true, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And basically, from what you described, I'd had a lot of success with you, but the second I wasn't in a boot camp or some kind of intensive, I just let it slip. So I needed something a little bit more long-term.
Right. So let me just flip back to Rasheen a second. You guys have something else that's very much in common that I don't think people, when they're listening to you, that they're going to know. I think it's important. And after looking at your wedding pictures and things, you know, it's obviously an important part of your life, and that's your culture, ethnicity, and so forth. So, Rasheen, how does that play in? Can you tell us a little bit? First of all, I haven't said anything about it, so tell the listeners what your background is, culture, ethnicity, and how does that play into food? How does that play into weight? How does that play into thoughts about body image or anything? Is there anything different about your background compared to anyone else?
Well, as you said, Raj and I are both are Indian, and our parents were all born and raised in India. And as far as food is concerned, I think, you know, Raj touched on this a little bit, but I think in most Indian families, food is what everything centers around. And I think I've heard a lot of people that are Hispanic say the same thing, in different other cultures say the same thing, but for Indians, in the Indian culture, food is really important as far as, you know, family gatherings. It's always the center of every event. So it's really hard, and I found definitely around, you know, family gatherings, it's really hard to watch what you eat because a lot of the foods, and especially for when I go to India, because my family doesn't eat meat. So, you know, it's hard as far as watching, you know, how much protein you eat because there's a lot of carbs and we eat a lot of rice and we eat a lot of, you know, bread and that kind of thing.
Right.
So I think, you know, traditionally speaking, growing up, it wasn't as hard, I guess, for me because of the fact that my parents were strict as far as the sugar, so we didn't eat as much sweets, which is really highly unlikely for Indian families.
Okay.
Because typically, and I'm sure Raj probably thinks, you know, assumes this is that in a lot of Indian families, there's always sweets around.
Right.
We just didn't have that because my mom was different, you
okay.
know. But generally, there's always, you know, like in Asian cooking, there's always rice and,
right.
you know, with every meal. So it definitely makes it difficult from that standpoint.
You bet. Now, how are Indian women looked at? How are you looked at as an Indian woman if you are heavy? Any different than you look at, you know, a Caucasian woman or an African-American woman, is it still looked at as, she doesn't measure up or she should lose weight or anything, or is it looked at as a prize, or how is it looked at?
It depends, I think, on where you live. I mean, in India, I find that, you know, the women are heavier than the Indian women here. And I think a lot of it is that in India, the emphasis is not on exercise. It's more on, you know, more on the family and food and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's more accepted in India.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would just be my opinion about it. But here, I think I've mentioned this to you before, that most for whatever reason, and it's not even because, you know, I would say that they work out or watch what they eat, but for some reason, most of my Indian friends here are really thin. And that was really difficult for me, body image-wise, where...
Yeah.
I would say my non-Indian friends they fluctuated in weight. You know, I was probably in the middle of the group.
Right.
Where I would say, you know, most of my Indian friends that I would be the heaviest.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't, I mean, now how about family? How does, like, moms and aunts and brothers and uncles and dads and everything look at women? How do they look at women? How do they think about, you know, their daughter or just women in general when it comes to weight? What do you think?
Well, my mom is really, you know, as I mentioned, that she was really into, you know, and my mom is really into health, whether it be food or exercise. She exercises, you know, 5 times a week on the average. you know, she goes to the gym, she lifts weights, which, you know, for almost 60-year-old Indian woman is really unlikely.
Sure.
And for her to have done it, you know, for, I would say, for 30 years is really unlikely. So for me, I think it's difficult because my mom has always been into the, you know, look good, lose weight kind of thing. So I know when I started this, she was the biggest advocate for me to lose weight and to get into shape. So I always felt, I think, growing up with my mom, that I had this expectation.
And Dave, I'll add, you know, Rushina's mom is very healthy and such. I would think a lot of times, like in a traditional Indian family or family unit, Indians tend to judge appearance a lot. You know, it's a kind of a double standard there. You know, they want you to eat and eat and eat, but at the same time, they're constantly judging you as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really, you know, socially, it's like you should be eating, but at the same time, like, they're judging, like, your skin color. Like, is it fair? Is it dark? How do you look? And there's constant kind of judging there in this culture. But at the same time, they're also, a family unit can be the biggest enabler of, you know, eating, you know, mm-hmm. as much as possible. So it's it can be kind of a difficult situation growing up for a lot of people.
You know, I want to say that, you know, when it comes to, like, Rushina's talking about her mom being 60 and working out 5 days a week and how rare that is, I couldn't help but feel that all I wanted to do is just substitute, forget Indian woman, I just wanted to substitute person or woman. Because a 60-year-old anything, exercising 5 days a week consistently and who's been doing it for 30 years, heck, that's about like trying to look for a unicorn. I mean, that's rare.
Oh, yeah.
It's really rare. And then, you know, Raj, when you were saying that there's this kind of double standard where, you know, the families and whatnot and everything we do, yeah, I got to say that, you know, I'm certain that there are differences. But when I think of the way you've described, like, you know, family gatherings and events and things like that all centered around food, oh, heck, it's that way in my family. It's that way in Italian families. It's that way in just about every family in America, where everything you do is centered around food, and the families can be some of the biggest enablers. However, I mean, it's not necessarily that all families are overly harsh or judgmental against their family as far as size, but it is looked at as though, you know, hey, you know, it's not ideal, and there, you know, you could do better or you should do better. But like you said, all the family things are centered around food. That seems to be just kind of almost universal.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think about that? Do you think that it's something unique, or do you think that the Indian culture in general, with the family unit being tight, with it being centered around food, like family functions, do you think that that's quite a bit more universal than unique?
I think it definitely is universal. I almost call it a stereotype, like the Italian family, big eaters,
right,
or whatever kind of family, big eaters, Indian families, big eaters. But I will say this, and I know this is true of all their cultures, and I don't know that's, like, for example, when we planned our wedding.
I was just going to say that.
When we planned our wedding, one of the biggest issues was food,
right,
and what was going to be served and the nature of the food. Would it be somewhat healthy or not? Because we, you know, there was pressure to make sure it was good, you know, and a function is, you know, an Indian function is oftentimes not judged by what it means, like, you know, the weddings, you know, bringing together two families. It was how good was the food, because if it wasn't good, then the whole function was almost a disaster. So, and I'm sure that's true of other people, and I think, you know, as far as levels of degree, you know, I think it's, in an Indian family, it's definitely up there. And I don't want to speak for other cultures,
sure,
but I'm sure they have some of the same levels of, I guess you'd say, importance of food.
Well, and I think in general, like non-culture specific, but just in general Americans, it's not necessarily, you know, they talk about food, but not necessarily the type, where a lot of Indian people only want to eat Indian food.
I see.
And when it comes to Indian food, then you're talking, you know, like carbs and all of that. There wasn't a lot of leeway for other things.
Okay.
You know.
Understood. Yeah, it's interesting. All right. So, either way, you want to add anything else about the kind of the potential culture differences or some of the things that you guys have been kind of inundated with since you were kids, as far as that goes, or you want to leave that alone? We move on. We good?
I think I'm good.
All
yeah,
right.
Thanks.
So, you know, the reason I wanted to interview you two, besides the fact that you're both my client, is because I just can't, you know, I've told you both that I think that what you both have done in the way you did it, in the time you did it, is just so incredibly special. And, you know, Raj, like you said, you've done a few challenges, and what you found is that without some additional oversight, supervision, accountability, you found that you would revert back. And what I'm going to say is, before I let you kind of explain why you think you were a success this time and long term and holding it, is before you simply hadn't done it long enough. You hadn't stayed down long enough. Why do you think, you know, as an elite client, now well over a year after being an elite client, why do you believe you were a success? And what weight did you kind of start at in elite, and where did you go to, and where are you now?
I started at, when I came to you at elite, I believe I was about 186 pounds.
Okay.
And, you know, like everybody else, life happened. Situations change, and, you know, I found myself, you know, just, I was tired of it, you know. I was with you for a long time. I almost felt like this is ridiculous. I mean, I'm with, like, probably, you know, one of the best coaches out there, and I was like, I need to utilize this. And I signed on to Elite, and basically in about a year, right before my wedding, I got down to 145. And that was the goal for me, where we decided that I wanted to be where I was comfortable at.
Right.
And, it, you know, parts of that were aggressive and parts of that were steady, but that was what we laid out for myself.
Right.
And in reality, I mean, it was a huge transformation for me. I had never done anything which required my attention for that long, mm-hmm. which is not to say I was in action the whole time for the year.
Right.
But I was, you know, in being constantly monitored, and, you know, I use that word monitor because there's obviously, you know, we had leverages in place,
right.
and we had other mechanisms like with the weekly calls, monthly calls to, you know, keep me in line, mm-hmm. so to speak. But over time, you know, it when you do it long enough, and, you know, a lot of things happen. A lot of the healthy lifestyle things you do become habits, right?
Right.
And it almost, like you said, it was. You really get to that point where it's not really hard, it's not really strict, it's just kind of what you do.
Right.
And you don't think about it too much. And, you know, other people, you know, where I used to, you know, in the beginning it was tough for me because Rashina and I, we both are very social. We do the bar thing, and our friends do the bar thing, and they do it a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we like to go out a lot. And, you know, during the time in our year, we had to make some changes, for sure.
Right.
You know, there were times, and many times, you know, where if I had to drink, it was planned out, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And but there were many times where I went out and I had to learn, basically, to have a good time without drinking. And I struggled with that. I mean, I struggled in the beginning of this. I mean, we had weddings and a lot of things in the beginning of Elite.
Right.
I just was like, you know, I want to do this hard, you know, part of the time, and I am going to kind of adhere to things on the weekend, but I kind of, you know, a bad weekend led into, like, a bad week, right?
Right.
You know, it wasn't like the weekend stopped at the weekend, and that was my biggest problem, and that was the biggest hurdle that mm-hmm. I had to overcome. But I did, you know, and I definitely did. And part of that is what it means to be elite and everything that comes with it, which really enabled me to do that.
Yeah, I know early on, I remember specifically you and I talked about environmental control.
Yeah.
And I said that, you know, in the beginning, you know, we're going to have to work together on exhibiting, you know, some of that kind of over and above what you'll naturally have to do later on. Once, like you said, it really just kind of becomes you.
Yeah.
But being constantly inundated with the pressure and the stimulus to engage in old destructive habits, that's rough.
Yeah, and there were times where, I mean, I'm not going to say that, hey, you know, there were times where I just didn't go out, and
right.
I really wanted to. And I, you know, and I don't want to say that to sound harsh or to scare someone away from, you know, doing Elite, but, you know, there are times where you have to recognize that you want to be able to allow yourself to gain a little momentum, I guess I'll put it. Right. And sometimes, you know, maybe it makes sense to control your environment a little. You know, you kind of have a grip on things and you're kind of chugging along, and where it kind of hurts to not work out, or it kind of, you really don't want to eat bad, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that takes a couple weeks of consistent effort. And if you have to control your environment to do it, it's well worth the price.
Well, it'd be kind of like a smoker trying to quit smoking and living most of their day in a smoke bar.
Right, exactly.
That's rough. Mm-hmm. If you're constantly breathing it in, there's going to be that constant kind of trigger stimulus to have this thing that you're addicted to. All right, so you and I, we did work together closely for a year, and you and I had talked about Rashina just a little bit here and there with regard to the potential of what may come, what may not come, and things that she was doing on the side as far as her weight. And I got to say that anybody listening, and I've told Rashina this, I've told Raj this, neither one of these two people that I'm talking to have ever had a bad word to say about each other. There's a tremendous amount of love here and respect. And when Raj and I did have a conversation, it was always out of care and compassion. And I would just ask, you know, how's Rashina doing? And Raj would say, well, she's doing well. She's going to start a program with a local personal trainer. She's going to try to get off a few pounds, so on and so forth. And I think, basically, Raj, all I had ever said is, leave her alone, don't preach to her, you know. And if there's a time that makes sense, then, you know, introduce and we'll work together and we'll get this taken care of once and for all. But, Raj, I told you early on what I felt was going to happen when some of the other attempts were being tried, like, you know, a local personal trainer. And I had said, I don't believe that's going to work. If it doesn't, just relax and know that I'm here, I'll help out, and we'll do it. You remember those conversations?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not that I'm ever rooting against anyone. I mean, heck, if Rashina had gone, you know, lost 30 pounds with somebody, there wouldn't have been anyone happier than me. But based on, you know, the standard scenario, and that's something I want to get out in this interview, is that, you know, the standard personal trainer doesn't really work on the things that I work on. And I don't do what they do. I don't count the reps. I don't look at form in a gym. I'm not standing where you are as you're working out. Rashina, I want to kind of hear from you. As Raj was going through this year, what were your thoughts about his changes? What were your thoughts about his involvement in Elite as you were kind of on the sidelines and not involved at the time? And what were your thoughts about what maybe Raj and I didn't know? What thoughts were you having, if any, about you eventually coming in, or your success or lack thereof?
Well, when he was doing it, you know, I actually never thought that I could do it. And I just thought, because originally, you know, when he was doing it, he was logging his foods every day. And to be honest with you, he knows, I kind of thought it to be a pain for us.
Right.
And most of it was because, you know, you'd think every day, like, what do you want to eat?
Mm-hmm.
And it would always be the same thing. Like, you know, well, whatever you want to eat, I'll have to find something. Like, he never really cared, because for him it was like, you know, I know what I can eat, and you're the one who's eating whatever you want, kind of deal.
Right.
And it was always just this kind of, for me, it was just this hassle. Like, if we were going out, you know, he wasn't drinking, and I always found it not to be fun for me. And, you know, I'm being honest, because
sure,
I think it's hard when you have somebody who's so disciplined. And part of it is because I wanted to lose the weight. I couldn't do it on my own. And I guess part of it was jealousy, because I'm watching him lose the weight, and he was really so focused on it.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was that I felt that it was a hindrance on our social life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he never brought it up for me to do it. He would always just listen to what I wanted to do as far as doing it with a personal trainer, or, you know, I think I even looked into doing, like, the biggest loser, like, whatever I had said, like, this is what I want to try.
Mm-hmm.
He never once said, you know, really, you should do this or you should do that. He kind of just listened to me and let me kind of find my own way.
Mm-hmm.
And
good job, Raj. Good job. You listened.
And what's really funny about this is that one day he came to me, and this was in February of this year, so I think it was right after my birthday, and I was 145, and the wedding was maybe, you know, less than 2 months away.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to me and he said, you know, I spoke with Coach, and, you know, would you want to? And it was almost like he was nervous to bring it up to me, because
he
I think he just did not want me to feel like he wanted me to do it.
He was.
And he said it so nervous. And what was so funny about that is I right away was like, yes, I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so excited about it. And, you know, we talked about the cost and everything. And he was like, you know, if you want to do it, you should do it. And I just found that, you know, I thought it was really sweet because he never wanted me to feel like he was pushing something on me.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute he brought it up, I was like, I'm on board. Let's do it.
So this is kind of where we're, you know, we're getting to the culmination of this. The reason that we're doing this call here is here's Raj is down 40 pounds. He's finally got the longest, Raj's longest weight, even at your one-year anniversary in Elite, that's the longest you'd ever kept the weight off, right?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so Raj is down, looking a lot better. Rashina, what'd you think of Raj? I mean, what'd you think of him at, you know, when he started getting leaner and more fit with the flat stomach compared to the 186, literally, tell the women, because they're thinking the same thing. What did you think of his change?
Oh, I thought it was amazing. I mean, I thought it was great. And there were just days that I would look at him, and I was just so proud of him, you know, to do it, and he looked awesome.
I like what you said earlier, though, too. It's like that's kind of the double-edged sword, too. It's like you're so proud of him, yet when you're struggling,
you're jealous, and I think that's natural. And
it is.
I had that, obviously, that inner struggle for me because I just couldn't come to the point where I could do it for myself.
Right.
And I was watching him do it, and I wish I could do it,
mm-hmm.
but I just didn't have it in me at that time to do it. And I think that's one of the reasons why him going through the program alone was probably hard for both of us. Because, one, he didn't have the support from me that he needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we both have found that when we're doing it together, it's so much easier. And I've told you this, that
right.
we don't really have those discussions of what you want to eat because we both know what we can eat.
Right.
And so it's never that, are you eating healthy tonight? That's what used to be his number one question to me.
Right.
And we don't really have that. We both are on the same page.
Well, let me just ask before I kind of get into the, you know, some of the just the really cool stuff about what you guys did this year. Because when you talk about how restrictive it is. Your feelings of it, Rashida, when Raj was going through it, is just how restrictive it is and how tight you have to be and how strict and disciplined you have to be. Now that you both are doing it, are you guys living on four foods?
No.
I mean, you know what I mean? Is there variety? Is there room for this to work into someone's life? Or is it this restrictive diet that you just somehow have to wrap your disciplined mind around and just somehow live with?
No, and I mean, the thing is that for me, when I first started, and you're going to laugh, because my biggest, the thing that I had the hardest time with was the whole one grain rule.
Right. That was special for Rashina, by the way.
I fought it, because I was obviously on a really strict timeline with the wedding coming up,
right.
So I was really aggressive. And so for me in the beginning, that was probably the hardest thing. And then, you know, I know after the wedding, I came to you and I asked you, like, can I add another grain back in? And, you know, once I did that, it's fine. It's mm-hmm. definitely, you can live with it. You can eat, you know, a variety of foods. It's just in the beginning, getting your mindset around it. You think it's strict, but what you actually realize is that, you know, you can eat a lot of things. But I think the hardest part for me is that in the beginning, I'm not a huge meat eater.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never thought of I never really thought, okay, I'm eating protein. Where is my protein coming from? And that's the biggest thing that you taught me. And I think that was, things like that was what I found to be restrictive only because it wasn't a part of my previous lifestyle.
And I'll add, you know, and I think other people who maybe they're debating should they bring this up to their significant other and things of that nature. And, you know, when you talk about, Dave, the perception of strictness, part of my nervousness was, man, if Rashina really does Elite, then she's got to log her foods. I mean, we all know, like, for those of us who have been doing it long enough, that you don't do it forever.
Right.
You know, there are things you do in the beginning, and there's things you do as time goes on after you establish yourself.
Right.
But a part of me was like, man, she's going to think that this is crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a part of me that was really, that I was almost scared about that, you know? Because I realized it's not that big of a deal, but I was like, is she really going to be doing that? Because the way she was before was, you know, I'll just kind of take care of it, you know? I can kind of do this and that, and I wasn't really sure. But the thing is when she signed on, and I don't know if you know this, Dave, she was like, when's Coach going to write me? She was so ready and fired up to go. And, you know, I'm sure the wedding deadline had a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it 100%. And she honestly, she blew me out of the water. Like, she was losing, it seemed like, a pound every 2-3 days. I don't know how. But she was killing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really just so proud of her. And, it, you know, it, and I think, you know, with I got to realize that it's not my coaching that has to, you know, articulate to her, you know, everything that you do, Dave. Like, you know, it just is, and this is kind of,
right.
you know, it's not strict. It's just kind of what you do.
Right.
You know, this is how you live a healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I had to realize, you know, it's not on me. And it was really nice. I don't have to coach her. I don't have to keep her accountable because that's your job.
Well, and, yeah, you didn't have to wear the black hat.
Right, exactly. And, you know, for anybody else kind of considering this, you know, I would just say have a little, you know, have some faith in Coach that you've obviously dealt with so many different clients that you know how to deal with different mentalities that you run into that would maybe resist what you try and teach.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as couples go, I even say it in the book, you know, guys, if you're trying to corral your wife in with her body or her nutrition or her diet or whatever, stop it. It's not going to work. And ladies, if you're trying to browbeat your husband into doing whatever, stop it. That's not going to work either. And if you're trying to be the whip holder or the leverage master over your spouse, stop it. That's not going to work. And the best scenario is to just be support and love and a person to lean on. And also, you know, respectful feedback when, you know, the question is brought up that is hard to answer. But for the most part, trying to be the, you know, the monitor for your spouse does not work, and it really creates a tense, no fun relationship.
Oh yeah, and I'll just add though, real quick, Coach. Before we ever did Elite, you know, Rashina was aware of leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one time, I don't know, Rashina, if you remember, like we had this thing, like
yes.
you're gonna write me a check, and I was gonna drop it in the mail if
yes.
you didn't hit this goal. And of course, that never happened. You know, you know, I'm not gonna take. You
That's
know, at that time, she was, I believe, my girlfriend. I don't think you're my fiance at that time, but
mm-hmm.
I don't remember the exact timeline. But you know,
no, we had things like a trip that we had planned. Remember, we were
yeah, we were gonna like, take a trip. Of course, we took the trip, and we didn't hit the goal. You know. No, it doesn't work.
Right.
You can't police each other, and
no.
it, and you shouldn't. It's
that's
not
right.
healthy.
No, that's. I mean, the thing is, no matter how big a potential leverage sounds, if there's no credible threat, you guys have heard me say that a dozen times.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no credible threat, it's worthless. Well, I'm going to burn my car to the ground if it. Well, you know what? We both know that's not going to happen. So saying it is as worthless as bringing it up in the first place. I mean it. It just is not going to happen. If there's no credible threat to it, then leverage is worthless. And that's why you got to make sure that if you have someone that's helping you with leverage, that they are someone who will follow through. And that's rough to find. But anyway, here's what I really want to get to. This is such awesome. This is the cool part. I think I told you, Raj, first. I said, you know what? I said, we've got to do this interview. This is so cool. There are so many people listening who know someone, or who they've already been there, or they're going to be there, they're either going to get married, or they're married, or they have a friend getting married, or whatever, who have said, I want to look really great on my wedding day, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to fit into the dress of my dreams, the women, and the guys are like, you know what, I just want to look good, or I just want to feel good, or, and I, so on and so forth, and then the honeymoon, and I want to look good for my honeymoon, and I'm going to be in a bikini on the beach, or I'm going to whatever. And the percentage of people that actually follow through with it is incredibly small. Incredibly small. And you two did it. Now, Rashina, you came in about right around the 1st of March, right?
February. When I started with you?
Yes.
I started with you, I think, the first or second week, and second week maybe in February.
Okay, got it. And the wedding date was when?
March 31st, because if I remember correctly,
right.
we had like 7 weeks.
You're right, absolutely. And so it was. So the wedding date was in March.
Yeah, it was 15 pounds in 10 weeks.
15 pounds in 10 weeks. And when you came in and you had, you know, 15 to go, what was your initial confidence that you were going
to
do it?
I have to tell you something.
Yeah.
So I remember when when you and Raj had a conversation about me doing it, because
mm-hmm.
he asked me and he talked to you.
Right.
And he came back to me and he said, okay, Coach said you can get down to 130 for the wedding. And honestly, I laughed.
Right.
Because at that point, when I was 145, I assumed that the best I could do was 135.
Right.
And that was really, for me, even I thought that was a lot, because it was 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So when he said 130, I was intrigued. I was like, really?
Right.
Because I just never thought that would have been possible.
So what'd you get down to for your wedding day?
128.
Yeah, 128. And so this is what's so cool. One, I mean, mean, this is how I see it, but I want you guys to fill in the blanks here because you guys are the ones living it. I look at it from this perspective that here you are starting your lives together. Raj, you've already made the transformation. You're already lean. You're already healthy. You've got 40 pounds off. You're keeping it off. You're hanging in there plus or minus 3 to 5 pounds, doing a really nice job. Rasheena's been struggling a little bit. She was going to try different programs throughout the year. But finally, it was time. It was right. And I said to Raj, you know, why don't you ask her? Why don't you see if she's ready? Look, I don't want her to go. I remember telling Raj this. There's no reason to go into the wedding day not being successful, not feeling good. And it's time. We got to, if we're going to do this, we got to do this now. So why don't you do this and see what she says, and you know, let's just take it from there. And of course, like you guys have said, Raj was surprised that Rasheena says, heck yeah, let's do it, you know. And so, you know, you guys did it. And so you both got into great shape for your wedding day, on your wedding day. So I don't care who starts off, but why don't you talk a little bit about what it felt like to look like you did and to be in the shape you were for the day and for the pictures and for the clothes. And Rasheena, I want you to specifically talk about the fittings or the you know, anything that goes into it, or yeah, anything regarding family or comments or just anything, how it felt preparing for it. But now, not so much preparing for it, you know, well, I exercised this, and I nutritioned that, and I logged my foods, but more about actually getting prepared for the wedding with regard to your size dropping and the weight being off and all that kind of stuff. So I don't care who takes it, but just go.
I'll let you go. Go ahead, Rasheena.
So, you know, as the wedding was going, at that point, you know, like Raj was saying earlier, that I was losing a few pounds, more than, I guess, a few couple of pounds a week.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely, halfway through, I would say, close to March, you know, the weight was coming off, and I couldn't believe it. And at that point, though, I didn't really have a lot of comments. You know, it wasn't a lot of people saying too much.
Right.
Even I would say a few weeks before, I had my bachelorette party, and I still didn't have a lot of comments. I think the biggest reaction that I got was actually, I think about a week, maybe 4 or 5 days before the wedding, I went to stay at my mom's house. Now, I have to say that my mom is the one person that throughout this whole transformation, the whole 2 months or 7 weeks, she was one who's always noticed. I worked out with her once or twice a week with a trainer, and she would always she was my biggest fan by far. You know,
mm-hmm.
She was just the one every time would say that. And, you know, to say something. And even I saw her a few weeks before the wedding, but when I saw her right 4 or 5 days before, she just kept saying to me, I can't believe, you know, I just couldn't believe the difference that, you know, in how you look and everything. So I tried my wedding clothes on for her, and we had a traditional Indian wedding. So I had reception, I had it's kind of like a short blouse top and then a skirt, and the skirt was way too big. It just would not stay up.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and I got it altered and everything, and, you know, she said it was, I think she said it was 2 inches. She took 2 inches in at the waist. And then I went to pick it up, and when I went to pick it up, she said, you know, I'm really worried because it looks so small now. I'm afraid it's not going to fit you. So I tried on, and even then it's a little big. And I just, you know, I was, at that moment, I was just so happy. I just couldn't, you know, that was, I think, when it really just sunk into me that I did, you know, that I was able to accomplish it.
Mm-hmm.
So on the spot, she made it a little bit looser. What she did was kind of funny. She added another button for me, and she said, here, just in case you want to eat, I left the other one in there. She's
that's
like, so if you decide to eat at your reception, you have some room.
Awesome.
And even your one friend, even a week before the wedding,
yeah,
we went to that picnic, and this girl, I think, comes up to her, and she goes, Rasheena, you've lost so much weight. And she said the best thing. She goes, you know, you don't look real thin. You just look so fit, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and that was huge. And I think at that point, like, for whatever reason, just a week before the wedding, you could just see.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, because 2 weeks, even my mom said that, is that she couldn't tell. But for some reason, all of a sudden, it just came in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I mentioned to you, this is going to be funny, I think, Coach, I told you about the T-shirt that Raj bought me from Miami that was too small.
Yes.
So I wore it. I wore it that picnic, because it fit then.
Did you?
I did,
oh,
and I was
funny.
So excited, you know, that I could finally wear it.
That's awesome.
And so then I was staying at my mom's house, and we were going to sleep, and I was changing, and I just had my underwear. I had underwear and bra on.
Right.
And my mom looks at me, and she's like, oh, my God. I thought, oh, no, what happened? Like,
right.
The way she said it to me.
You're looking behind you. Like, what happened?
Yeah. And she just was like, she's like, you look amazing. And it was so funny. And for me, you know, I mentioned this a little earlier, is I've always felt that my mom was a tough critic for me because she's always been in shape.
Right.
And she's always been the one pushing me. And she, you know, Raj was saying earlier that you know, Indian families are always like, eat, eat. My mom is always the one who's like, eat this instead, you know.
Right.
She's very, you know, when we go to big parties, she's very conscious of what I eat, what she eats. So for me, for her to say that to me, I was just so happy.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, that's got to be just an incredible feeling to, especially, how close are you to your wedding day at that point?
Oh, when that happened?
Yeah.
That was probably Wednesday or Thursday. The wedding was Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, so how does that feel when you're getting that comment or feeling that way when you're 3 days away from your wedding?
I mean, it was priceless, honestly. It just was. I had, you know, at that time I had family coming in. And, you know, Raj mentioned that I had friends that said that. But I didn't have a whole lot of people that said that because
right.
I think for me it was, I don't think that people ever saw me as being really heavy.
Right.
And so I didn't get the huge amount of comments from a vast number of people.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a handful, but I would say that my family was, you know, they were the ones that noticed the most. Like when my dad and his wife came, they immediately said something. My brother did, my cousin, you know,
right.
My aunt and uncle, they did. But mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that I have a huge number of people. I mean, Roger's parents knew, but I didn't have a huge number of people that constantly were saying
same
something.
Stuff.
So when they did, it really meant a lot to me. You know, it really made me feel good.
It had an impact. So now on the wedding day itself, how did it feel to be in the dress you were, looking the way you did as you, you know, like you said, you had a traditional Indian wedding. And I tell you, you guys, boy, you really did it up. I mean, it looked really special, fancy. Just looked like it was a really, really big to-do. It was really cool to see the pictures, and hopefully I'll be able to share some of those pictures when people are able to listen to this interview. But anyway, you know, so...
So for me, you know, when you wear an Indian outfit, especially with my wedding outfit, it's a sari, so it kind of looks like a toga, and underneath you have a blouse. And the biggest part for me was that you can see your sides.
Oh, okay.
You know, and you can see your back, you can see part of your back. And so I really was concerned when I, you know, a year ago that people are going to be able to see, like, my fat hanging out.
Right.
And I think that was for me when I tried it on. And, you know, obviously I wasn't at peak, you know, but I was definitely, I looked good, you
yeah.
know. And for me, I really felt that. And what's actually this part that even to this day my mom still feels bad about is that a few weeks before the wedding I tried on the outfit for the reception and she kept telling me, like, I think the blouse is okay, don't worry about it, just get the skirt fixed.
Right.
So I did. So the night of the wedding, we put for the I had a reception outfit and I put the skirt on and it was like the sleeves would not even stay on my shoulders.
Mm.
They were halfway down my arm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was too big.
It was way too big, and
yeah.
it wouldn't even stay up. It was, like, coming all the way down. So we had to pin it, and it the whole time, like, it wouldn't stay up. And so my mom felt so bad. She's like, you know, we should have got it. Even in the, it's so funny in the video. You could see me just trying to keep it on. You know, and Roger and I have actually also talked about this, that I think the other thing for me, though, that I recognized was that when you wear Indian clothes, a lot of them, you know, except for the blouse, a lot of them, you have a lot of clothing on.
Right.
And so... For me, I think, you know, he kept telling me, like, people aren't saying anything because they can't tell. You know, you have so much clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, because at first I kept thinking, like, everybody kept commenting, all of Raj's family, everybody kept commenting on how awesome he looked.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really great.
So, Raj, let's flip over to you a second, okay?
Yeah.
Hey, you aren't 185 pounds on your wedding day. you're 150 or under, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
And how does it feel not only to be you in your skin, but to see Rashina? How did it feel to see her look the way she did?
It was amazing. I mean, because the whole time, it's kind of hard to... It's like, I looked the way I did, she looked the way she did, and it was probably... No, I shouldn't say probably. It was the best that we were going to look that day, and it was awesome. And it was the sense of... We did it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We totally went into our day looking the way, like, we wanted to look.
Right.
If you ever, I don't know if we sent you some pics, our professional pics, I mean, you know, it was almost, I felt like we looked like models because
mm-hmm.
it was, they were just, you know, I'm like patting myself on the back, but, I was like, you know, this is what I wanted, and this is what we got.
Yes.
And, I mean, how often can people say that?
That's what I mean. That's why we're here. It's so... incredible, it's so awesome, it's just stupendous, it's, you know, you get it. How many you know, words can we use to describe it that are great?
Well, you know, and it never gets old hearing people look at your wedding pictures and say, you know, you guys look like models. I mean, that never gets old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, we kind of wanted. It, you know, I think at first we were like, we want to go in looking better, but we ended up looking, you know, really good. And it was just, you know, even for me personally, it was really fulfilling. I mean, for me, I had a lot longer way to go than Rashina did.
Right.
So I probably got a few more comments, especially leading up to the wedding, you know, where I was really kicking it in gear and getting off those last pounds there.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like, my best man who saw me,
yeah,
maybe, I don't know, maybe 2 months.
No,
early,
1 month.
Maybe
best.
A month earlier,
yeah.
Who, and he was like, I just saw you in Miami for your bachelor party. What happened to you? You
yeah.
know, and, you know, I look good there, but I, you know, mm-hmm. obviously kicked it into gear, you know, extra gear, you know, heading into the wedding. And
even your mom came up to me, and then she was like, "Roger's too thin. Make sure he eats more."
Yeah, yeah, my parents were like, "Your weight, congratulations," and to put it back on. You know, like, this is way too thin. And in general, I got a lot of comments, and you know, when I look at us, you know, and in our pictures, I mean, you only have one time to capture that. You know, you're going to look the way you look on your day. And you know, obviously this all goes well beyond that day, right? You know,
right.
What you have for life. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't want to minimize that, but because that's honestly probably even the better gift. But let's face it, the thrill time is on your wedding day.
Yeah.
And having those pictures, and I can't say that I wish I looked better. You know,
oh,
and
nice.
How many people can say that? I mean, I'm sure there are some, you know,
sure.
and you know, congratulations. But, you know, a lot of people, I think, can't say, you know, I kind of wish I had looked a little bit better. And, you know, it was an amazing time. It was an amazing experience just leading up to that.
Well, you hit the nail on the head, Raj, in my opinion, as far as just with the specific reference about the day itself. And that is, you two will never in your life have to look at your wedding pictures and cringe.
Yeah.
You will never, like, not open the wedding book because that was when you were heavy.
Yeah.
How many people do that? A lot.
Yeah.
You'll never open it up and go and feel as though you
wish. In fact, it's the opposite. We keep wanting to look at the pictures to see.
Right. I don't blame you. And, you know, 20 years from now, you know, the cool thing is it'll be the same because, to me, there's so much to be proud of, and the way you looked, the way you both looked, doing it together, you know, starting your lives together, with truly a lifestyle in place, you know, not having kids together yet, and you know, being able to translate this into a lifestyle for them before they even knew that it was a lifestyle, you know, before they even knew that this was a way you live, this is the way you eat, or this is the way you live your healthy life. So incredible. And so, you know, it's, I don't know, I just think it's outstanding that you two are, you know, where you are, that you two are continuing to do it together. And Raj, you had mentioned this before, but you said this like 10 times early on once Rashina really started kicking it in. How much easier did it get for you when she jumped in?
Oh, I mean, and I don't want to say that Rashina wasn't supportive, but it's different when your significant other is doing it with you, and they are logging, and they are, when we are planning dinner together, we are trying to assess if the protein is there or whatever. It's night and day.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're living with someone healthy, who's generally a healthy person, it's not the same because, when you're in action, there are just things that there are different levels of action.
Right.
And, especially when you're heading towards your wedding day,
mm-hmm.
you know, you want to be extra clean, you know, you want to eat extra clean and you want to get in those extra minutes. And it's much easier when you have someone on board because a lot of times if you're with someone who is maybe not where you are, they may even resent you for the fact that you're gone because you're working out.
Right.
Maybe you didn't get up that morning to work out. Now, instead of, you know, hanging out at home, maybe after dinner, winding down with some TV, you're like, you know, I need to go drive to the gym, go work out for 45 minutes to an hour, whatever it is for you,
mm-hmm.
and then come back and shower up, and then all of a sudden, 2 hours of your night is gone.
Right.
When you've got someone else in action with you, you don't you don't, and I didn't really have that with Rashina per se, but there are times where you're just on, you're in a different place, and it can create stress if you guys aren't doing it together. And when you're both on that same level doing the same thing, it's way easier.
Well, and I think the other thing is that Raj touched on earlier was that we had, you know, I know for myself, we had a difficult time out when you're out with your friends in a social environment. But it's so much easier when you have somebody that's doing the same thing. So we would go to restaurants and most of the times we would look at the menu ahead of time and kind of say, okay, what are we going to eat? And, you know, there were times where our friends wanted to go certain places and we wouldn't go. And when we were there, you know, I remember this one time that was specifically hard for me, was we were with this other couple and they had wine and they had this and that and, you know, we're sitting here with, like, whatever ounce fish it was with, you know, side of veggies.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought I couldn't do this if Raj wasn't there. And afterwards, they invited us to their house. We went to their house and they had chocolate fondue and neither Raj or I ate it. And they just sat there and ate the fondue.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought there was no way I could have had that type of control by myself.
Mm-hmm.
That I really didn't even feel deprived because Raj was doing it with me, that mm-hmm. we made a choice to do it together. And it really made it so much easier.
So for the people that are listening who don't really know, you know, anything about what they're hearing or anything like that, is it always never eating fondue and fish and a side order of veggies?
No. And, you know, when I say this, and really it was for me because I was on a strict I was losing 15 pounds in 7 weeks.
Right,
so
right.
When I talk about the strictness and the fondue, that's only because I was on that type of plan.
Right.
I mean, even now, you know, we're still on it, and I'm still looking to lose weight, but it's not where... You know, I'm not as strict.
And I'd like to add something about the meal plan and what it is. And I think what people need to realize is that what it is what you make it. You can make it, you set guidelines. You don't really tell us what to eat, right?
Right.
Your program never says you eat these things,
right.
You know, outside of, you know, you want your veggies and things of that nature. But
right.
You never say you eat these things on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right.
You make it as... You can eat great foods in this lifestyle if you set it upon yourself to make great foods.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing that stops you from making flavorful, good foods, as long as they don't trigger you.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But outside of that, you know, but that, like anything else, like working out, like anything else, takes effort.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you feel like you're not getting what you want out of your daily eating, you need... You know, at some point, you need to look at yourself and say, you know, I could put in a little more effort and make it more attractive to myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is what you make of it, and I can't stress that enough.
Well, and one of the reasons that I make a valiant effort not to get super specific on, you know, follow this exact meal plan is because I'm working with so many different backgrounds from so many different cultures.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was to tell, you know, a person of, you know, Italian background or whatever, okay, you'll never eat pasta again. Oh, that's not going to work. If I'm going to tell someone in the Indian culture, you're never going to eat what? Tell me what's the most
like
common.
Like dal is a bean.
What's it called?
Dal is a lentil dish.
Yeah.
And that's actually what I wanted to eat. I remember asking you if I could eat it. In the beginning, you had told me, you know, you really need to substitute it for protein.
Right.
But there's nobody saying that you can't add it back in.
Right.
Which I have, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And that's an important thing, too, is that, like Raj had said, there are various levels of action. You know, when Rashina came in, and Rashina, you were a machine. I mean, she really was. She was just outstanding. But when she kicked it in, she kicked it in. She was mentally there, just dialed in, and man, her numbers were outstanding. Her score, her My Grade Today score was super high all the time. A top student on the top 20 list constantly. Just really was just, you know, absolutely outstanding. It was at a level that was quite high. It was an aggressive goal, and we needed to be aggressive. But even so, I still didn't say, eat this. It was still guideline-oriented. And that's because, eventually, I really want it to become something that you can... First of all, you kind of learn... Like, Rashina, would you be honest here? At first, this is the way I describe it. You tell me if the way I describe it in my sales material, copy material, and everything else. I say, at first, you learn to tolerate it, and then eventually evolve it into something that you make of your own.
Right.
Would you say that's honest and true?
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I remember you kept saying for me is, because I would ask you, can I eat this, can I do this? And you would be, your biggest thing was, for now, no. And really that was because of the fact that I was on an aggressive, you know, an aggressive deadline. But you would always say, you know, for now let's just do this, but then you can add it back in and see how it goes.
Right. And since then, you've added a lot of those things back in. But then again, right now, you're in an action phase again, and you're losing again.
Right, but I'm nowhere near.
As serious, super high intense as it was before. But you've got a honeymoon coming up here in a little bit, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's the next thing, and so you're progressing toward that. Well, here's what I want to do. First of all, I want to say congratulations to both of you for starting your lives together, really, with such incredibly healthy, vibrant bodies, physiques, and lives, and for now at least finally doing it together, and for, as a parent of three kids, and my kids are teenagers now, but I work with so many people that are also parents, but it's before you're having kids. This is still happening before the kids, and for your kids, when you're ready, for them to come into this environment and already have it in place, is got to be worth as much or more as anything else you could possibly give them in their entire life. And it's already in place. They aren't going to have to come in with a super strict, or a super, super, lenient. And they aren't going to have to come in with you never eat this and you never eat that. And they aren't going to have to come in with all of these misconceptions about what good nutrition is. They're going to come in to be born, literally, into a lifestyle.
Right, and I think one of the things is that because, Raj said earlier that we both came from polar opposite families growing up, that we've now found a way to blend it and to come up with a happy medium.
So powerful, so amazing. I really just can't say enough about it. That's why I was so stoked, a little while back when I had suggested to Raj that we do this interview, because I just feel like there are so many people listening that are going to be able to relate to what you two are saying. There are going to be people listening that are either getting married or thinking about it, or they know somebody who is or whatever, and you guys did it. You didn't talk about it and not do it. You talked about it and did it, and that really puts you in a unique class of people, and there will be no regrets. And those feelings you guys have talked about, I think, in this interview very, very well. And let's do this. Let me give you two the last word. Any thoughts, anything you want to say to anyone who might be listening to this who's wondering, but can I do this?
Okay, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Why would you say that, Rashina?
And the reason I say that is because, I was always the person, every single year when I had a girls' trip that I go to on Vegas every year, and every year it was the same thing. I'm going to lose the weight for the trip. And every year the trip would come along and I never did it. And so I think I'm the perfect example of the person that wants to lose weight, has a desire, but just can't get to do it on their own. And, even when you came to me and said, we can do this, you can lose the 15 pounds, I really didn't think that I can do it.
Right.
But the thing is when you have the tools in front of you and when you have the support, you really can do it. And, you just got to make that decision that you want to do it for yourself. And when the time is right and you commit to it, you really can do it.
Well, Raj, I like what Rashina had to say, and I that's it. So I'm just going to cut you off.
No problem. She always gets the last word anyway.
That's right. Hey, you're learning. See, that's another thing you're starting off well with, Raj.
Yeah, that's right.
You're getting the hang of that. So thank you very much, Rashina. I really appreciate that. You said it very, very well. Raj, what do you think?
And for the person out there that maybe, for me, I was a little bit different than Rashina in that I was one who could actually apply myself for a period of time under your coaching and could do it for long periods of time, upwards of 12 weeks. But if you're the kind of person that, can kind of apply yourself, but then you're so off and on, you're either you're doing it or you're not only not doing it, but you're reversing very fast.
Right.
If that's the kind of person you are where you can kind of do it in stretches, but then not do it in stretches, then what I think Elite will give to you is that long-term model to add persistence to your daily way of life, And if that's, for some people, that's kind of what they need. I mean, some people have shown that they can do it, but then when they're not on, they don't have a happy medium and they fall back really fast. And if that's kind of more what you are, I'll say Elite definitely, addresses that as well.
Congratulations, you two. Thank you so much for taking time to do this interview. And I'll be, of course, speaking to you both here and there and beyond, inside and outside the club.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
Good night. Thank you for listening. To learn more about the Leanest Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle online, please visit www.leanestlifestyle.com. That's www.leanestlifestyle.com.